Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight's message I've entitled The Counsel of the Lord, and I went back and forth on which spelling I wanted to use because both counsel and counsel could have worked. So if that doesn't make sense, it didn't make sense to me either until I realized there's two ways to spell this, and they mean two different things that more or less mean the same thing when you're talking about God. So anyway, so the counsel of the Lord, here's the gist of the direction of the message tonight, and that is that when we were lost, you know, we've got scriptures that say don't lean on your own understanding or don't lean on your own counsel, if you will. When we were lost, the only counsel that we had available access to was our own. And even if we were listening to other people, it was still processed through the lens of our lostness. And so even if others were saying good stuff, even if our parents or friends that knew the Lord or whatever were saying, godly things, were ambassadors on God's behalf, giving us wisdom, giving us counsel, it was processed through a lost lens. And so that counsel was so often muddied and fuzzy. And the gist of it is that before we came to know the Lord, really the only way that we had to process life was through our own understanding, our own counsel. But then when we came to know the Lord, so many things changed. You know, the glory of our salvation is, 10,000 messages. And one of those 10,000 is we gained access to heavenly counsel so that then we could begin to live our lives out of his understanding, out of his counsel, out of his good counsel, as opposed to having to lean on our own version of life, on our own counsel, on the counsel merely of our friends or of those that we know, that we gained counsel from heaven when we came to know the Lord. I don't think that we can overstate how big of a change this is. And if it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, I want to challenge us that we may not be tapping into it like we could or should. Because this is something that I am astounded by. I just want to give you a couple of verses here. 1 Kings 22:5 and then Job 12:13. 1 Kings 22:5 says, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. So there's a king, and they're talking about what battle they're going to go into or whether they're going to, some exploit. And while they're trying to figure this out, Jehoshaphat says, hey, I've got this great idea because this is how I live. I don't want to just go out and go do this thing that we think is a good plan. Because you and I, we've been talking, king, you're a king, I'm a king, we've had this conversation, we put our best thoughts together, we're kind of smart guys that run our nations, we put all our thoughts together, we've got our council down here of all our advisors and such, but if we're going to go do this thing, I don't want to just go out and do it, I want to know what God has to say about it, so before we go do this, let's seek the counsel of the Lord. And so this concept of going to a counselor, when I was a child, I was a troubled child, and I had to go to counseling for a little while. It's okay. I had it coming for some particular bad choices I made, and so I had to go to counseling, and the idea was you go in and you've got somebody who's supposed to be a whole lot smarter than you, that understands human nature and understands your particular area of need and that kind of thing, and you talk to them and then they talk to you and they're giving you counsel. They're giving you from a wealth of understanding, they're giving you instruction that is of, you hope, is of a higher caliber than what you could get on the street or what you could get, thinking real hard in your think tank at home. And so here we've got this concept that we have now the capacity to go to the greatest counselor in the land and get the absolute surest counsel there could possibly be, from the one who did Genesis 1, who created everything out of nothing, not from somebody who understands human psychology, from the one who invented and hewn it into us, human psychology, the one who knows not just people and human nature. He knows every facet of your being, and we have access to his counsel about our lives. Like, this is not a good thing. This is the $540 million jackpot. I mean, this is like the big win. Access to the counsel of God. This is life-changing, if we let it be. Next, Job 12:13. I just love this commentary about God. I love little phrases like this, little nuggets that are thrown in throughout the Bible, here and there, that tell us about the nature of God. They just declare some aspect of who he is. To God belong wisdom and power, counsel and understanding are his. These things belong to him. You just think about this concept of ownership. It's like, man, I'm just thinking about how Gabby is so possessive of that little baby. Man, there's this baby. She's got baby, baby. And if she doesn't have baby, it's all over, okay? I mean, she owns that baby, and she lets everybody know, mine, mine, mine. We're going to have to work that out of her a little bit. You know, she's not quite two yet, so we got a little bit of grace here. But my goodness, I don't know how many times I hear mine, 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 talking about that baby. And she holds it, and she carts it around. She wants to bring it to the grocery store. I'm like, that thing is so dirty and gnarly. It's probably where disease starts at this point because she takes the thing everywhere. You know, mine, mine, that is my baby. So Gabby owns the baby, okay? And she lets everybody know, ownership of baby equals Gabby. Ownership of wisdom, of counsel, of all understanding. Ownership, the very reality of these concepts, the concept of counsel, the concept of wisdom, the concept of the full spread of understanding. These concepts belong to God. They are God's creation. They're God's stuff. It says they belong to him. And that we have the capacity, the ability, the privilege, the honor, I'm just overwhelmed by the ability. I just cannot believe there is an on-ramp from us to God that would allow us access to his counsel. I mean, his salvation is mind-blowing. The thought that then after salvation, it's not just that we're saved, but then we have access to all of who he is, of his nature, of his being, and that he understands every situation perfectly. He understands every person without any fault. He knows perfectly every individual. He understands every high and lofty thing. He knows every circumstance, every difficulty. He has perfect clarity about it. There is no aspect of anything that has ever been that he has one bit of lack of understanding about. He has full counsel. He has full counsel. And yet we've got verses like the one in 1 Kings 22:5 where it says, Jehoshaphat said, well, if we think this is a good idea, let's seek the counsel of the Lord about it. I hope, honestly, to never recover from the awe of this concept. We have access to his complete counsel, to him who is full in understanding of all things. It's unthinkable. The uncreated God willing to permit you and I to approach him, and then while we're there, he's willing to tell us stuff. This is like really good news. This is really good. It's not just good news, though. It actually has real application because we can now know his thoughts about us and we can know his thoughts about our lives. So many times, because the enemy is called the accuser, if you ever wondered why you feel accused, it's because your enemy is called the accuser. I mean, it's like that is one of his primary weapons is to accuse you, to tell you that you're not who the Bible says you are, to tell you that you're not worth what the Bible says you're worth, to tell you that your efforts are not going to amount to anything. The Lord says that he'll use you and prosper you and help you and see you through things. So many times we need access to the counsel of God just to know how God thinks about us. And we have access to it at all times. So to have access to his thoughts about us is so powerful because that can change our lives. If you think really poorly about yourself, you are not going to accomplish all that the Lord has for you. And your life is going to have lots of holes in it because you don't see yourself the way that God says that you really are. So to have access to God's thoughts about us is really a massive game changer. But the second, not just about us in the sense of like how he sees us, how he feels about us, how he sees the movements of our heart, but even beyond that, that we have access to God's best for our lives because he knows the right decisions. He knows the right ways that we should go, the choices that we should make, the plans that we should jump into, the ones we should avoid. That's divine information. You know, when I was lost, I had to make all those decisions myself. When I did not know the Lord, the only way I could make my decisions was from a place without hope, without clarity, without God, without access to counsel, without purpose. And I had to make all my decisions according to that that pattern and that process. But now, I want us to get excited. I want this to excite and re-excite my heart again and again for the rest of my life. The reality that today we have access to the counsel of God to know what he thinks about us and to know what he thinks about our lives. And so the reason that this makes, that I want to point this out is because I think this is probably one of the very top, if not the most important discipleship tool that I could ever hand to you. The most important discipleship tool that I could ever give you would be to tell you that you can hear God, you can know God's purposes, you have access to his counsel, and you can follow his ways for your life. This is like the most life-changing thing because so many times in our lives, we are in a pattern of looking to people first to get our answers. And yet the Lord says, you have access to my counsel. Let people be second, even if they, sometimes they won't even make the list. That you have access to the counsel of God to know what you're supposed to do in your life, to know what he thinks about you, to know about the decisions you're supposed to make, that the Lord has these purposes for you. Well, I want to give us three avenues tonight through which his counsel flows. So the counsel of the Lord, we have access to it. So now what does that look like? How does that manifest? And there's basically, well, really, there's just three ways that the Lord, that we have access to his counsel. And I'll give you those three and then we'll talk about them real quick. One is the word of God. Two is hearing his voice speak to our hearts. And three is the wisdom of godly leaders. All three of these are in the word as access points to his counsel, to wise counsel from the Lord to know what it is that is the way we're to go, to know how we should make our decisions, to know how he thinks about us, to know how he sees us. So let's look at these. First, the word of God. Psalm 119:24. You guys know a bunch of verses that are very similar to this one, but I just want to kind of throw this one out there and give us a baseline. The word of God, anything that we read in the Bible, it is going to be the most sure word that we could possibly receive. It's objective. It doesn't change. It's going to have clear assurance. If we get it out of the word of God, it's going to have clear assurance that it is, in fact, God's counsel. So the fact that we own Bibles gives us such a massive leg up, not just that we own them, but that we can read them, that we're literate, gives us such a massive leg up on access to the counsel of God, because anything that's written in the word of God, we can count on with full assurance, it is the counsel of the Lord. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this, while it's the most sure, it's also the least specific about your circumstances. I just think that that's interesting. It is the most sure, you can count on it 100%, but it normally doesn't tell you what to do on Tuesday. I mean, it doesn't get into how to handle this exact situation at work. You know, what to do. So it requires some interpretation, is my point. It's the most sure, you can count on it. It's absolutely the counsel of the Lord. But it does often mean that it requires a measure of interpretation in order to apply it. Psalm 119:24, your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. The statutes of the Lord, the decrees of the Lord, the things that are written in the word that he wrote down as components that are trustworthy sayings about him, about life, about us, about the human heart, about sin, about righteousness. These statutes, these things that the Lord says, these are the ways that I want you to live. These are my commands. These are my purposes. Anytime you read them, you can count on them in full assurance. It is the counsel of the Lord. Having access to this is the absolute greatest foundation for a believer. But of course, we do actually have to read the word in order for those statutes to have any value in our life. But I do find it interesting because the more I look at it, they are the most sure. They are the most perfect. They are the most, you know, objective, immovable, and they are also the least specific to my life circumstances. It's just so interesting that that's one component of God's counsel, and it's like the main one is the one that is for sure, but it doesn't tell me what exactly to say in a conversation to that person tomorrow. And it's just so interesting. Second one, hearing his voice. Hearing his voice. Okay. So Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And we've done a number of studies around here on hearing God's voice, and that's not really what I'm focusing on in tonight's message, but it is a part of it. And this idea that we can hear God speak. We can have that still small voice. The Lord speaks through dreams and parables, and I mean, he speaks in a thousand ways, but the Lord still speaks. I mean, on top of, in addition, never in contradiction to his Bible, he still speaks. And so he says stuff, and when we hear those things, what's funny to me about this is the most subjective way that he speaks. I mean, this is like the, I mean, was that really God? I think it was. I mean, I heard it. It sounds like the Lord. It really rings true, and I feel his presence on it, and it sounds right. It's the most subjective. You can't. It's not written down in the Bible for thousands of years. I mean, it's like I heard it in my spirit. How did he know it was God? I really think it was God. It was God. You know, it's the most subjective, but it's also one of the ways to give you the most specific details about what to do in your life circumstances. So a word that you might hear might actually speak directly into what you're supposed to do about your finances. Not just steward your finances well, give, you know, save, you know, Bible principles, but like, I want you, a nudging in your heart. If you've ever been in like a moment where there's an offering or something, and it's a special offering or something, I've had this happen, and you feel the Holy Spirit just kind of nudging you, I want you to give to this. Well, that's the Holy Spirit giving you his counsel about that situation, about your money, about what you're supposed to do right then. I mean, it's direct information about what to do on a Tuesday. It is like super specific clarity about your life circumstances. I mean, it comes to the most absolute specific detail about what you're supposed to do in a specific moment, what you're specifically supposed to do. It gets so specific. That's so cool. It's just funny to me that it's also the most subjective, the most like easily able to dismiss. Like, I don't know, is that the Lord? I don't know. I mean, I'll just be honest. There have been a number of times that looking back, I think probably the Lord was speaking and I dismissed it because I wasn't paying attention or I was busy or I don't know, how could that possibly be God? I don't know, I've just dismissed those things before. You all have too. It's so crazy. Like, this is the exact opposite of the Bible. So now you're talking about the way to get the most exact details about my life, but it comes in the least objective way possible that's so easily dismissed. And it's the counsel of the Lord. Third way, wisdom from godly leaders. Look at these verses. It's supposed to be Proverbs 10, 31, not Psalm. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom. So not just leaders, it's helpful to have godly leaders as opposed to ungodly ones. But have godly leaders, righteous people in your life that love you. And it says you can count on this. This is the Lord speaking. I mean, the Bible's the source of information here that's telling us that this is another source of counsel from the Lord. It says, from the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom. Like, there is counsel that can come out of the mouth of a righteous person in your life, a leader especially, that you can count on as God's counsel. Like, God's the one testifying to it here. He's like, they're righteous, they love me, they seek me, they've got your good in mind, and you can count on what they're giving you being the fruit of wisdom. That's really cool. Next verse, Psalm 37:30. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom. Their tongues speak what is just. Utter wisdom. They're just that they have wisdom available. I love the way that this says it because it doesn't make it sound like that it has to be like this word of the Lord moment. You know, sometimes, you know, we will say to somebody, man, I really feel like I've got like the word of the Lord for you. Awesome. This isn't that. This is just they're uttering. They just utter stuff. They just, when they speak, their words are the fruit of wisdom. It just seems so like matter of fact. It seems so day to day. So, you know, any occasion you can count on it kind of a thing. Like, it's not that they have to have this aha moment from God. It's the fact that they love God so much that their counsel is going to be trustworthy because they're righteous, they love God, they love you, and so therefore they're going to bring forth counsel that's going to be helpful to you. Third one, Proverbs 13:10. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. I just think that this one's interesting because it talks about the wisdom of taking advice when godly people give you advice. Like when there's godly counsel given, instead of there being pride and strife and saying, no, I'm not going to listen to that, I'm going to go my own way. Instead, taking that advice is wisdom. So this whole little kind of circle that we just got is the Lord gives wisdom to, you know, righteous, you know, people, righteous leaders especially in your life. And the reason I just keep pointing on the leaders is because there's so many Bible passages that talk about the value of us having godly leaders in our lives. And there's so many passages that talk about the righteous having wisdom in their mouth. So I'm putting those two things together and saying, you want the real word? Like, righteous leader is even better than righteous person. Like, go for the gold. And so here's the whole circle. God puts wisdom in the mouths, his counsel, in the mouths of his saints, of those that love him, of righteous people, and that it's wisdom to take that advice and apply it. Why would the Bible say it's wisdom to take that advice and to put it into practice in your life? Why would the Bible testify that that's a good idea if it's not actually advertising it as part of God's counsel, as part of the way that God gives counsel to the human race, is through godly leadership? Now, when I think about this one, it's just funny to me. I look at this and I go, well, this one has probably got the balance, the best balance of objectivity. So it's pretty objective. I mean, you're hearing it from somebody you know. It's not like you're just, you know, reading it in the newspaper. You're talking to a person you know. They're giving you details about the specifics of your life. So it's not just that it's objective and that it's trustworthy, but it's also that it's like detailed. Because, I mean, if you're getting counsel from somebody, hopefully they're giving you more, a little bit better counsel than just keep doing good, brother. I mean, that's pretty vague. Hopefully they're giving you counsel about what you're supposed to do about the job or the conversation you need to have with the person that's, you know, giving you a hard time or, you know, hopefully there's like real nuances. So this one seems to be a pretty good balance of specifics as well as being objective. So it's like clear, this is really helpful. The hang up, you have to trust a human. I mean, it was a lot easier when you trust in the Bible because that's like firm. And it's really, I mean, it's a pretty good shot to trust God when you're hearing God's voice, if you can kind of dial down and hear it. But trusting a human, like a person, a flawed person that's just as messed up as you and me. And yet the Lord says, these, all three of these are access to my counsel. And that there's a beautiful balance, actually, when you put the three together, as opposed to leaning only on one. Some seasons, they'll be, you know, one of these three will be more helpful to you than another. But it's the three areas that actually create the balance of his counsel. It's knowing the word of God, which will tell you the broad strokes of life and really give you a great foundation. It's learning how to hear his voice and knowing, you know, what decisions to make. And then running all of that by godly counsel in your life, by godly leaders to go, you know, how does this, like, what would you do with this information? I felt like the Lord said this to me, and I know the Bible says this. Like, you got anything you want to add to this? And you put the three of those things together, and it creates this beautiful tapestry that we have access to the counsel of the Lord, and in God's way, that only he could even come up with such a simple and yet complex version of trying to give us the message. In his perfect way, he has given all three of these, the word of God, his subjective voice, hearing his voice, and the counsel of godly leaders. He's given all three of these as the way to get his counsel. I just want to make my decisions out of his counsel. I don't want to live like I was lost. When I was lost, I had to make all my own decisions. I don't want to make my own decisions anymore. I want to make his decisions. I want to know what the counsel of God is, and then I want to do that. I want to know what the Lord wants. I want to know what he thinks. I want to know how he feels. I want to know which way he wants me to go, what things he wants me to say no to, what things he wants me to say yes to. And even if those things are uncomfortable, if those things are great, if those things are here, if those things are there, I want the counsel of God. I want to live in God's plan for my life. Not just in the broad strokes, in the day-to-day. I want the counsel of the Lord. And I have found that these three things create this like near flawless on-ramp to the counsel of the Lord. And the only reason I say near as opposed to perfect is because there's still you, you know. You're still in this equation. You know, you can still mess this up because there was a little too much of your own desires on that one, on that decision. And you were really kind of blocking out some of God's counsel. And you really didn't really, really want what God wanted. You really wanted what you wanted. And so you kind of blocked out some of his counsel. So there's always still the fact that you're in the equation. It's not a perfect on-ramp because you're still the one that has to go up the on-ramp. But I'll tell you what, it's near perfect. The balance of these three things, that we have got the word of God, we can hear his voice, and we've got godly leaders in our lives to help us. This is like awesome. Well, let's talk about the benefit of his counsel. I just want to advertise a little bit of this. Now, my point with this is just to give you some verses to just meditate on, process through, stir up your faith. You know, the Bible is filled with ideas that have life on them, but they only take flight. How about that? They only take flight when we meditate on them, believe them, let faith stir up, and then begin to apply them in our lives. And so I just want to give you some verses about the counsel of the Lord to help us with this. One, he takes us into his confidence. Let's look at Psalm 25:14 and Proverbs 3:32. Look at this verse. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Proverbs 3:32. The Lord detests the perverse, but he takes the upright into his confidence. Both of these verses, the Lord confides in those who fear him. Hear this one. The upright, he's taking them into his confidence. This is the Lord talking about, like, sharing his deep secrets. We have access to the deep secrets of God. He takes us into his confidence. I just think, like, when there's something that's really sensitive, when there's something that's really important that I really don't want a bunch of people to know, there are just a few people that I take into my confidence that I go, hey, listen, can I please, I just need to process this. Like, this is something really important, or there's something really impersonal that's happening in my life right now. And I don't just broadcast that. I take somebody into my confidence, and the expectation is that they're gonna, like, you know, keep that quiet, and that they're gonna, you know, help me through that or whatever it is. And it's something, it's like personal, it's private, it's important, it's close. And the Lord says, those that fear me, I'll take into my confidence. I'll confide in them. I'll tell them my sweet secrets. I'll tell them what I'm thinking. I'll share with them things I won't share with the masses. I will not share these things with the most. I'll share these with those that draw near. Taking the upright into my confidence. Well, we have access to this we got to follow the rules. It says that we have got to be, in order to be taken into his inner circle on this, we've got to walk in the fear of the Lord. We've got to walk in righteousness, being upright. But if we will, we have access to his confidence, to his counsel. Not just his counsel of information, but the emotional makeup of God. We have access to know his deep thoughts and his feelings. That is so intense. I just think if we knew what was going on in his heart, we would make our decisions differently. We would live differently. Our priority system would be different. The way we spend our time would be different. Not a condemnation on the way we spend our time. If we knew him, if we knew what he was thinking and feeling, we wouldn't even want the other lovers. Like we wouldn't even want the lesser things. Our perspective would be so much higher. We have access to this in him. Amos 3:7. We can know his plans. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Like the Lord is willing to share his plans. That's what his counsel is. It's not the only thing, but it's an aspect of his counsel. It's one of the benefits of having access to his counsel is that we can know his plans. I don't want to just know his plans for me. I want to know his plans. You know, you've got different friendships in life. And maybe if you're like me, you've got some over the years where whenever you talk to them, it was always about whatever they were doing, whatever was going on in their life, whatever they cared about. Anytime you got together, it was always, you know, kind of focused on them and what was going on in them. I wonder how many times the Lord, just like in his heart, goes, does anybody care about, like, my plans? I mean, does anybody? It's like, I love all of you, and I'm glad that you have needs, and I'm glad to meet them. I'm glad you want to talk to me about your life. I like your life. I made it. I'm glad to help you and speak into it and love you and encourage you. But does anybody care about my plans? Like what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, what I want to have happen on the planet, in your generation, in your city, in your church? Does anybody care what I want, what my plans are? You know, I woke up today with plans too. I have plans for the earth, for you, for your life, for those around you. I have plans. I want to know those plans. I want to know the plans of God. I don't want to just live so selfishly. And I don't mean that like you're selfish, you're bad. I'm thinking just in the purest definition of the word, selfish means I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about my stuff. I'm thinking about my life. I don't want to just live selfishly about my life and me. I want to know about the plans of God. And then because I like God, I want to help him with his plans. I want to be a part of his plans. He says we've got access to that. Even knowing the future in our lives and the lives around us. Isaiah 42:9 and Isaiah 46:10. Isaiah 42:9, see, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. I want to know what's going to happen before it happens. I want to know about what's going to happen with this job situation, even before it unfolds, Lord. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know what's going to happen in our city regarding the riots and the things that are prophesied in the word. I want to know the things about my personal lives. I want to know about how this problem, I've got this relationship issue with somebody. I love them, they love me, but man, there's this tension. How's this thing going to end? I want to know, even before it's done, God, I want you to announce to me how the thing is going to turn out. That's so helpful. Can I just tell you, this right here on a personal note, I mean, in your personal lives, can be one of the most powerful things to help you not worry. It can be one of the most powerful things to help you not spin your wheels, not have conversations you don't need to have, not spend money you don't need to spend, not spend time you don't need to spend, to know the future. I'll give you a great example. As a pastor, and you know, you got small group leaders all around the room, you're in the same boat. I don't know how many times over the course of, you know, couple decades, there have been occasions where there's been relational conflict with me and somebody that like I love and I care for and I'm discipling. That's happened 500 times. I don't know how many times. On the occasions that I stop and I go, God, how's this going to turn out? Is this going to like really be a big deal? Or like, are we all going to die? Is everybody going to get mad? And is there going to be a fist fight out in the parking lot? I mean, like, Lord, what is going to happen here? And the times where the Lord just said, I'm going to take care of this. You don't even need to worry about it. That's great. I could sleep tonight. I was going to worry about it. I was going to be up all night concerned and achy and like, you know, like upset about this. You know, same thing can happen in your job situation. What's going to happen with this job? Is my boss going to fire me? Is this thing going to happen? Lord, give me your counsel. Announce it to me ahead of time. What's going to happen? And the Lord speak those words to your heart. Oh my goodness, it can save you so much heartache, so much fret, money, expense. Look at this, the Isaiah 46:10 says similarly. Isaiah 46:10, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I'll do all that I please. I make known the end from the beginning. Lord, would you make known the end from the beginning about the situation? Would you allow me to enter into your counsel? And would you make known the end of this situation, even at the very beginning? You know, Lord, is this job going to pan out? Is this relationship, is this person that I want to pursue, you know, single person? Is this person I want to pursue? Is this something that like I should even do? Is this a direction I should even go? Lord, make known the end from the beginning. Like, is this something I should even invest my money into? Is this something I should even look at? God, is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this the direction I'm supposed to head? Like, show me how this is going to end up. And then just let the Lord begin to speak and to lead. We have access to this kind of stuff, to divine information. You don't have to live like a lost person. A lost person doesn't have access to any of this. You do. You have access to the counsel of the Lord to know what is he saying? What is he thinking? How is this thing going to turn out? What are his plans? What are his purposes? You have access. The next one, John 16:13-14. I think this might be the most powerful truth in this whole conversation. John 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. And here's what I'm going to focus on. In the counsel of the Lord, you have access to know anything. Anything. Because anything that is real is true. Anything that you have access to anything, any information you have access to in the Lord, because it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit that lives in all of the redeemed, anybody that's called on the name of the Lord says, Jesus, I want you in my life, the Holy Spirit lives in you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. This is not limited to truth about Jesus. This is all truth. Lord, I don't know how to make a chair. How do you make a chair, Lord? Sit there long enough and pray and ask the Lord. He'll show you how to make a chair. Lord, I don't understand quantum physics. I don't know that I want to, honestly. But pretend you do. Lord, help me understand quantum physics. He is the best tutor. He knows everything. You have access to all understanding, anything. Now, that does not mean you know everything. In fact, you know diddly squat, just like me. But you could know diddly squat plus one tomorrow if you press in for something. And then diddly squat plus two another day later if you press in for something else. You have access to all information. And Jesus says, do you understand why I've done this for you? And I go, no, I have no idea why you've done this for me. And he answers in verse 14, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking what is mine, that is truth, information, and making it known to you. I will get glory when the Holy Spirit tells you stuff. You'll go, no way! And I'll get glory as a result of that. Jesus says, I love this plan. I'm going to have the omniscient Holy Spirit. He knows everything. And he didn't just get that information on his own. He took it from the Father and from me. He's going to take from me truth, and he's going to give it to you about your life, about chair, about air, about whatever. You just pick it. He's going to take this stuff, and he's going to bring me glory by sharing information with you. You'll know the information that you didn't know a minute ago. And now you'll be like, whoa. And God's going to be like, yeah. And the Holy Spirit's going to be like, high five. And when the Holy Spirit gives you the information, it's going to bring glory to the Father, glory to Jesus. And Jesus is so satisfied with this plan because the entire thing required interaction with God, fellowship, truth, faith, believing him, applying his wisdom. I mean, God is like so excited about this plan. And to me, this is the absolute best deal we could possibly ever get. We have access to the counsel of the Lord. And what that means is you can know anything. Anything. Why in the world do we try to figure stuff out on our own? That's dumb. No, really, like that, like on an IQ test, like we fail. Like that is a really dumb idea. Our IQ is zero. God's is a bajillion times starlight. And you and me are trying to figure stuff up and like make our decision. I guess I'll just do this job. That is really, really bad. That is a really poor way to make your decisions. That is a really bad way to live our lives. And we do it all the time. We make so many decisions outside of the counsel of the Lord. We make so many decisions. We're not even conscious of how many decisions that we make. This is total foolishness. We have access to the counsel of God about everything. God, how's this conversation supposed to go tomorrow? Speak to me and lead me. God, what am I supposed to do about this opportunity at work? What am I supposed to do about this person and this issue that's in their life that bugs me? What am I supposed to do about this issue in my life that bugs me about me? What am I supposed to do about this this trip I want to take? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? God, what am I supposed to do about this relational conflict? What am I supposed to do about this life change? What am I supposed to do about this opportunity? Where am I supposed to put my money? How am I supposed to get out of debt? How am I supposed to? All of this, the Lord has answers, real answers, divine counsel, perfect understanding. And you and me are trying to figure it out? Gosh, that's like really ignorant. It's just like, it's really irresponsible in light of that verse, in light of John 16, 13 through 14, the man with all understanding and the promise of Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of you, it will make God so happy to do this process with you again and again and again and again and again, because it will bring glory to me if you will just seek the Lord and get his counsel about how to confront that person, how to forgive that person, how to deal with that situation. I'm staring at a Bible passage. God, I have no idea what this Bible passage means. I guess I'll have to call somebody to get understanding about a Bible passage. What do I do? You're just going to ask the Lord right there, Lord, what does this Bible passage mean? Speak to me about this Bible passage. Like getting the counsel of the Lord about anything, everything. This is wisdom. I'm telling you, this is the best thing I could possibly do for you as a pastor is give you this bit of revelation. Go to God. Go to God. Ask him. And again, he says there's three ways to go to him. There's three ways to get his counsel. The Word of God, many, many times, will have everything you need. You just look at it, you pray, get a little bit of clarity, a little bit of interpretation, apply it, boom. Asking the Holy Spirit about specific situations, about life circumstances. Please don't ever move somewhere without hearing God give you information about it. I mean, like at least something, some counsel, whether it came from a leader in your life or a word in your spirit. Please don't just pick a job, like get some direction from the Lord. But even the conversations that we have with each other, the tricky ones, the tough ones, the ones where you need heartfelt advice to be able to give somebody, like get counsel from the Lord. We have access to the most incredible amount of information, and yet we still try to make these decisions on our own. I'm going to give you one last verse, and then we'll finish for the night. The last verse I'm going to give you is Jeremiah 23, 18 through 22, a little excerpt here. And I wanted to give you this idea. We've talked about the ability to know anything, any truth. We've talked about knowing the plans of the Lord, knowing the future. I mean, we've got all kinds of access, but I just think about what a safeguard living in the counsel of the Lord, being those that talk to God all the time and ask him questions, being those that read the Word of God and that do our best to apply it, being those that have leaders in our lives that we can ask counsel from and get information about. This is the promise of the Lord. Look at this. Jeremiah 23. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? If they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways. This is the Lord telling us that if we'll live in the counsel of the Lord, we will have the capacity not only to know right and wrong, to perceive right paths and wrong paths, but we will have the capacity to even help others see those right paths and wrong paths. We will have the counsel of the Lord resting on us if we ourselves live in the counsel of the Lord. So again, I want to just go back to, I want to commit my own heart and life, again, to being a person who seeks my decision-making process, who tries to find the answers to, am I going to do this? Am I going to go there? Am I going to say this? Am I going to be about this? Am I going to spend my time and my money this way? By finding that counsel in the Bible, in hearing his voice, and in the counsel of godly leaders in my lives. I want to live that way. Because if I do, I will be in the counsel of the Lord, hearing his words, knowing his truth, knowing what's right and wrong. I will have clarity about right paths and wrong paths, and I will even have the power, the authority, to proclaim those words to his people and to help his people understand right and wrong.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.